Hello and welcome back to Lutheran Witness Podcast. I'm your host, Roy Askins. Here on the Lutheran Witness Podcast, we share for you all sorts of great content, but today we have something extra special. We are here in Berlin, recording in Trinity Lutheran Church in Steglitz area of Berlin, and we've got some great guys on the podcast for you today. Before we introduce them, however, I want to give a quick shout out to our podcast partners, KFUO.org. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Check them out, KFUO.org. You can listen to their content streaming on the web, KFUO.org, or you can listen on their AM station in the St. Louis area. So check them out. We're grateful for their support and help. Now, today, as I mentioned, we have some great work, great podcast for you. There's some great work going on here in the Berlin area, working among Persian immigrants in particular, here in Trinity Lutheran in Steglitz. And with us on the podcast today, we have Pastor Gottfried Martens, who is the pastor at Trinity in Steglitz. We have Pastor David Preuss, who's the regional director for the Office of International Mission in Eurasia, correct? And then we have Christian Teves here, who is, what's your role? Give me your actual role here, Pastor Teves.
I'm an LCMS pastor in Hamburg, Germany, serving the Persian community in Hamburg. And also, I'm also a instructor at Riga Luther Academy, which is an LCMS-supported online seminary.
Excellent. Well, we're going to kick this off, Pastor Martens, by asking you a little bit about the history of the work among Persians here in Germany. Kind of when did the work start, and how did the work here at Trinity really get its start?
The whole work started originally in Leipzig. There was a very active missionary who used to be in Botswana before, and he was the first one who found out that Iranians and Afghans are so open for the gospel. And so he started this mission work in Leipzig. So that's the mother congregation of all our Persian-speaking congregations. And two of his members came about 16 years ago to my former congregation, St. Mary's Lutheran Church in Zehlendorf. And so we started with these two people, and for a longer time there were only a couple of people there. And then in 2011, I baptized the first Iranian. And after some month, an avalanche started that everybody was inviting the next one. And so for Easter Vigil, I had 8 baptisms or even more than 10, and Pentecost as well. And so within 1 year, we had almost 100 people coming to St. Mary's. And that was too much for the congregation there. Fortunately, there was another church building here in Berlin, Steglitz, that was hardly used anymore. And so we decided to move here to Steglitz in 2013. And so we started here with about 150 people. And then within a few years, everything exploded. More and more people came. And so today we have about 900 Farsi-speaking members, 900 Iranian members, and 400 Afghan members. So
that's
altogether
incredible.
1,300 members. And so the work has grown in a way that we would have never imagined before.
So it's taken on kind of a new shape here with a lot of the asylum seekers. We did a number of interviews with these asylum seekers. Can you kind of give us a sense of, you know, the primary work that's going on now here in Trinity?
Well, it's difficult to say what's the primary work. Of course, the first and primary work is always leading people to Christ, doing baptismal classes and baptizing them. That's what we do. Usually on every Saturday, we have baptismal services. But aside from this, of course, a very important task of our work is to help these people to stay in Germany, because the German government usually thinks that all these asylum seekers that have converted to Christian faith are just liars. And a special thing is that we also do our church asylum work for people, the majority from Sweden. In Sweden now, all the Afghan Christians are threatened to be deported to Afghanistan. Their wives and children are allowed to stay, and the only chance for them to stay in Europe is that we take them into church asylum here in Germany. And so we have a lot of spiritually experienced Christians here in our church asylum. And I always say our congregation here in Steglitz, we have a monastery. People who pray and work. And so that's another important task. But aside from this, of course, as the congregation has grown so much, we have a total normal Farsi-speaking congregational life like every other congregation as well.
Yeah, it's actually been wonderful to watch. I'm sure you guys have seen this too in the services, to watch kind of the integration of the German and the Farsi together. I mean, my experience in the U.S. was you would have two separate congregations here. You'd have an English-speaking congregation and like a Spanish-speaking congregation. They kind of do their own thing. That's not happening here. You actually have this wonderful union kind of between the two.
Yeah, that was an important thing for me from the very beginning. When we started this mission work in 2013, I invited the Germans to come with me as well here to Steglitz. But as I said, of course, they had to know from the very beginning that this is a mission project, that we do this work with Iranian and Afghan refugees. If they support it, they are heartily invited to join us. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, a small but very active group of Germans came here as well. And so that's why we have this wonderful situation that there is such a good relationship between Germans and refugees here.
Yeah. Pastor Teves, talk about some of the work in Hamburg and how the work is progressing in Hamburg, especially as you see it in connection with Trinity and Leipzig, and kind of what's right. The Hamburg piece of this?
Well, we're doing similar work. The numbers are smaller. In Hamburg, we have two SELK congregations. SELK is, that's the acronym, that is the sister church of the LCMS in Germany, a confessional Lutheran church. And we have two congregations. And in total, roughly a third of the congregants are Persian. Mm-hmm. So a different focus, about two-thirds German, a third Persian. However, there we do, in fact, kind of have two parallel congregations. Yeah, yeah. The goal is, of course, to integrate the Persians totally into the German congregation. But right now, if you will, there are two parallel tracts. We do find, though, that it's very interesting. Over time, the Persians, they want to be with the Germans. Mm-hmm. And so they integrate or they graduate into the German congregation. But we're doing very much the same thing on a smaller scale, baptizing, teaching. We want to take this to the next level, though, and to form, if you will, the next level of advanced Christian Lutheran catechists, meaning non-ordained people who would be able to lead other people to Christ in a more qualified way. However, one thing I find so fascinating about working with Persians, and I was a pastor in the United States for 12 years, in the States we used to have to more or less jump through hoops to get people into the doors. And we had all kinds of different projects, as many American churches do. Here, it's the opposite. Here, they literally almost beat down the doors. It's the same in Steglitz as in Germany. And to be fair, some of the people do want to become Christian because it will, in fact, facilitate the asylum process. Mm-hmm. However, there are very, very many, we believe, who are authentic in their yearning for Christ, because in Iran, actually only a small section of the population is actively Muslim.
Yeah, so we just had this gathering that you guys called to kind of discuss this Farsi work. And you mentioned very few in Tehran, for instance, attend a mosque.
Yeah, it's shocking. Pastor Martins mentioned only some 1% of Iranians actually go to the mosque. That's
astounding.
It's totally astounding. But we're seeing the same thing, and also in Iran and here. So the vast majority leave Islam, but what they're looking for is something that only Christianity and only Christ can provide. Mm-hmm. That is, the Farsi word is aramesh, which is a piece of the soul. Mm-hmm. And they're not finding that in Islam, and they're also not finding it in atheism or in any other religion. Right. But they're finding in Selk churches in Germany. They find Christ.
Pastor Martins, we interviewed Ashton Turej, who was just baptized this last Sunday. And he talked about the dreams that he had from very young as a child, dreaming of Christ, and how he talked to you about these dreams. And this is a common theme among the Iranians. Can you talk about this? And as you mentioned, I loved it the first time we talked to you, like you said, us Lutherans, this makes us a little uncomfortable. We don't like to talk about these type of things. But this has been very important for the Iranian people. So can you kind of talk about this a little bit?
Dreams have a much bigger importance in Farsi culture, in Iranian culture, than here in Europe. Mm-hmm. When I started my work, always people came to me and talked with me about their dreams. And I really couldn't understand why do they tell me their dreams, until I found out that these dreams are a part of reality of their lives that we have to take seriously, of course. Mm-hmm. And then in the course of time, I encountered some people, it's not so that it is the majority, but quite some people who were led to Christ by dreams. Mm-hmm. And as you said, as a Lutheran, first of all, of course, I said, how do I cope with that? But on the other hand, there are certain points that are important to me. First of all, of course, see that these dreams really changed the lives of people. And so I can say, well, that must be the risen Christ who uses dreams as well, especially in countries where people don't have access to Holy Scripture. Perhaps that's one reason why we don't have these dreams. We have Holy Scripture directly. And of course, in the baptismal instruction, I talk about this theme as well in connection with the first commandment, that I say, be aware of this. It is possible that it is only superstition. So you can't say that every dream is a message from God. But if your dreams are in accordance with Holy Scripture, mm-hmm. then you can say, okay, this really comes from Christ. And I have really moving experiences. For example, one day an about 60-year-old Afghan came to me and said, Christ said to me, go to Europe and get baptized. And he said, now here I am. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's great, you can go to the baptismal class that you can get to know Christ better. And he said, why should I get to know him better? I saw him. Hmm. It was so obvious to him that it was Christ himself who changed his life. And I have seen witnesses, for example, of a man in not in our congregation, but I saw it, a man in the middle of Saudi Arabia who had never any contact with Christian faith. Christ came to him. And he became a Christian, and he is now a witness of Christ. There is no logical way to say how he should ever had known anything about Christ. But for him, it was so evident that it was the risen Christ who showed himself to him. Hmm. And he was expelled by his family, but he said, well, I've seen Christ, and that's the most important thing in my life. So we still have Easter experiences today.
Yeah, it's amazing. I want to get to some of the persecution that many of them are experiencing. Before we get there, I want to talk a little bit with you, Pastor Preuss, about how you see this work kind of fitting in the overall work of the region. I mean, it impacts a number of different areas. The region, the Eurasia region, and it's very large. How do you see this work kind of fitting into the overall region?
Well, the Eurasia region is quite large. It extends from I think they say Greenland, all the way down to the United Emirates. And then from Spain to the other side of Russia. So there's a lot of activity there, yeah. A lot of things going on. A lot of our region, a lot of the activities we're doing are quite new. I would say things have really changed in the last 3 to 5 years. And one of those is church planting. We're planting churches, especially in the south of Europe, but we're also planting churches and have been planting churches here in Germany. Gottfried told his story, and you've been with mission groups or immigrant groups your entire ministry, doing this work, church planting. So when we see good things being done, when you see momentum, you want to support it. That's good. That's good mission strategy. Now, one thing, it's been kind of exciting. Yeah, everybody watches the news, and you see all this tragedy going on, all this speculation, wars, migrations. Of course, we have the Ukraine war. We have refugee crises, and people have a lot of political opinions. You know, people weigh in on the political side. And I just like to tell you that as horrible as it is to be displaced from your home, to be fleeing war, this does present an opportunity by God's grace to preach the gospel to them. So what a wonderful opportunity we have, especially among the Persians who are coming to Christ. They're calling on the name of Jesus and being saved to witness it. It's overwhelming. And the joy that I experience today here at Trinity and in Steglitz, I can't describe it, to see all of these Christians hearing the word of God, hearing the gospel, and being saved by it. So I want to support this. I see this as a motivation. I want to do this to the ends of the earth. Hmm.
That's part of the big strategy too. We're going to get to that in just a second. I do want to talk about, at the end of the meeting you guys just had, to kind of talk about the strategy. I loved, Pastor Martins, the way you talked about your outreach strategies. Would you mind recapping this for us? What's your outreach strategy?
We don't have any strategy. We don't have any method. I always say our method is just word and sacrament and nothing else. But when these people hear the gospel, they can't be silent. They invite their friends. And so that's how people come to our congregation. Not because of any big things that we perform here, but simply we do our normal worship services, we do our baptismal classes, and people are so moved by it that they bring their friends. And so I am not the missionary here. The missionaries are the members of our church, and we don't need a strategy for that.
Yes. As we were doing these interviews with these gentlemen that were talking about, you know, coming here, it was amazing to me. It was always, well, somebody, so-and-so told me about Pastor Martins, or so-and-so told me about Trinity and, you know, the work going on here. And it was always somebody else sharing with them. And then they would come here and then hear, you know, hear you, hear the gospel being proclaimed and just transform their lives. It was wonderful. Pastor Teeves, I want to kind of talk to you about big picture stuff now. Obviously, there's a whole lot going on here. You've been really kind of striving to coordinate this big picture, this big vision. What's kind of the big vision with this work going on here, and where do we hope it can go?
Well, we've come up with basically an approach to try and corral all of the exciting work that is being done here, and we're calling it, it's really a really clever, complicated name. We're calling it the Persian Project. And the Persian Project is essentially to combine and to correlate the work that is being done in Berlin, in Hamburg, in Leipzig, in Wolfsburg, in Braunschweig, in Düsseldorf, and to create repositories so we can all use the same material for baptismal instruction, for videos, for catechesis. And another key component, as I suggested earlier, is to raise up a kind of a second level of advanced Christian, the catechists, who would not be ordained, but would be able to take the new people to a new level. And to take it even further, this work begun by Pastor Martins, which is roughly 15 years old, we would like to multiply that in other areas of Eurasia that also have Persian expat populations. And there are several countries in Western Europe with large Persian expat populations, to use the concept of catechesis and the catechists, to use repositories and to multiply this in these Persian expat communities. Now, the fascinating thing is, if you look at Muslim communities around the world, most Muslim ethnicities are not as interested in Christianity as the Persians. The Iranians and the Hazaris of Afghanistan, these two groups, they spike within the Muslim community. And we could go on and on about this. There are many historical reasons for this and cultural reasons, but this is a super, super fertile soil. So you talk about the soils, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a super, super fertile ground. And so we would like to multiply what has begun here in Germany and take it to other Persian communities, including in the United States, because there is a huge Persian population in the U.S. as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a particular place you mentioned in the meeting, that massive population that's kind of astounding, if you talk about that a minute.
Yeah, it's a little village in Southern California. They call it Tarangelis. There are no less than 700,000 Persians in Greater Los Angeles, the second largest city outside of Tehran with Iranians.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity. And right now, the LCMS is not doing any particular work in these populations in L.A., correct?
That, to my knowledge, I believe that is true.
Wow, that's wonderful. Great opportunity. Yeah, please.
Yeah, could I add to that? Chris is the main one heading up this Persian project on behalf of the region here, Eurasia region. And if I could just say to anybody listening, if you are interested in learning Farsi and just look at this work being done in Germany and this opportunity, you can really play a role here. Chris talked about the catechist idea. Now, we're not talking about a position in the church catechist. We're talking about a capacity, a person who has the ability to teach, to hand the faith on, to speak more articulately about the Christian faith so as to ultimately raise up pastors. Now, you can help by, if you learn Farsi, you learn it well, you can help to translate various resources and bring us to that stage so that native Persian speakers can receive these concepts in their own language and then start communicating it with their mother tongue, from the heart. This is very important, and this is something we're working on here in the near future.
If I may add, we can take the same thing the other way around, too. If you are a Persian native speaker, and you wish to assist us in bringing the most faithful version of Christianity through word and sacrament, bringing that to your countrymen and countrywomen, please contact us.
I'm going to give this a theological bent, and I'm going to go to Pastor Martins here, because I've heard you say this a number of times, and I really want you to unpack this. You believe that Lutheran theology is the antidote to Islamic theology. That is the perfect opposite, I think, was the phrase that you used.
Yes.
Talk to me about this. This sounds fantastic.
When Persians and Afghans become Christian, they don't want to have a light version of Islam, but they want to have the total opposite. And the total opposite of Islam is, to my mind, indeed Lutheran theology, because Islam is always thinking about the God who is very far away, who is very big, and now they experience, especially in Lutheran theology, that God is making himself small so that you can even touch him with your lips in the sacrament. And in the mosque, they never had something like a liturgy where you can see something. And now you can even visibly see the incarnation. And I think that when you compare our services with, for example, the Reformed services are much closer to Islam than the Lutheran services. And so they love liturgical services, you know, with all the gestures and the vestments and everything. They really love this because that's really the opposite.
And the reason I bring this up is because you were talking about Persians and the opportunity of Persians to share this message with their people. This is what they're getting, right? The exact opposite of Islam, this God in the flesh for us. One of the other things you've mentioned, and that I've seen a number of times, is the absolution, the individual absolution you do. You talked about how wonderful people have really appreciated this.
Yeah, that's another very important point, that, of course, in Islam, they had never the certainty of salvation. And it is something that is specific for Shia Muslim mentality. And you have to know that one basic reason why the Hazara and the Persians become Christians is that they were Shia Muslim before. And in Shia Islam, there is a mentality and piety taken from one verse from the Quran where Allah says, "I send everybody to hell, and afterwards I will take out some righteous people." And so at the beginning, I didn't want to believe it. But afterwards, so many people told this to me that from childhood on, they were told, you go to hell. That's obvious that you go to hell. So that was their future. And they could never be certain of salvation. And now they hear that there is a place where it's said to you, your sins are forgiven. And that is so great to them that they love the personal absolution. So in every worship service, it's a little bit longer time of the service, but we always give this personal absolution with laying on of the hand to everybody, and they simply love it. And I always say as a joke in the baptismal instruction, just imagine that the imam is going to you in the mosque and says to you, your sins are forgiven. And they all laugh and they say, well, that would never be possible. And we can't even imagine that. And so that's so great. And that's what they love as well.
Could you, I've heard it so many times and I would love to have it recorded. What is the actual word? What are the words that you use in Farsi when you say this? What are the Farsi words? Can you say it for us?
Gonahod.
Oh, well, wonderful words to hear that in your own language and in your own tongue. And this is the opportunity, of course, that Pastor Preuss and Pastor Teeves were talking about. If you are Persian, to be able to hear those words and to help others hear those words of absolution, forgiveness in your own tongue, reach out to these guys. Certainly an opportunity to do that. Pastor Preuss, while we have you on here too, as we're kind of perhaps wrapping this up a little bit, can you give people in the U.S., other LCMS Lutherans who are hearing this, what can they be doing to support this work right now, here and now?
Well, please, please pray for us. God hears the prayers of his saints. You can be certain of that. Please learn about it. Know what's going on here. It's sometimes people get busy, caught up in their own things, their own lives, and sometimes it's easy to put other things out of your mind. And not only that, but when your mind goes to the Middle East, into Europe, into migration, immigration, there's so much politics that clouds the what's really going on. That's not the reality. The reality is that the gospel of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins is being preached to people. They're hearing it. We're right here witnessing it. They're hearing this message. They're believing it. They're confessing it. They're going to the Lord's Supper and receiving the forgiveness. So they're hearing the absolution in the words you just heard. And think of that. Think of the fact that while you may not have much in common with these people from a cultural perspective or language perspective, you have more in common with these folks here, these Iranians, Afghanis. You have more in common with them than you have with many of the people you live with in your hometown, because you confess the same Christ. You believe him. These are your brothers. So think about them, pray about them, and please consider ways in which you can learn the language and contribute in that way, and also contribute financially, because we need money, because we are bodies. We have bodies, and we live in a space. These Jews, these Christian brothers and sisters of yours are also, well, refugees. They're living in asylum. They have very difficult lives. They need your help. They need your prayers. So please consider ways in which you can contribute. You can speak to me, David Preuss. You can speak to Chris Teeves, kind of the point man here, and we'll let you know how you can support further.
And of course, add their contact information in here. I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot, Pastor Martins. You're not going to want to answer this question, but I asked you earlier, and how do you support the work? You have basically 30 men that live in this building here that are part of this monastery. Where does that support come from to provide for these men for the 6 months that they're here and the care that they have?
To be honest, often I really don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's really every year like this that we say we live on miracles. When we do the budget at the beginning of the year, we say we don't know where we can get the money from. And often we are really going to the edge. At the moment we have 83,000 euros, so about 100,000 euro dollar debts at the moment, and we don't know how to get rid of it to the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But we know that this is not our work, but that it is Christ's work. And so we are very confident that he will take care of us. At the moment, we don't know how.
Thank you, gentlemen. Anything else, Pastor Teeves? Did you want to close? Do you have any comments you want to close with? Anything like that? You had a contemplative look on your face, so I figured I'd give you an opportunity to close it out for us.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on what Pastor Martin said, that the mission opportunities in Iran and in parts of Afghanistan. So some people say these are the fastest growing churches in the world. Mm-hmm. And when we think of Iran, we think of all kinds of bad news. And it's true. On the other hand, so many are Christian there, secret Christians. And they are literally risking their lives for the faith. Here in the West, Western Europe, in North America, and so on, it costs nothing to be a Christian. you can be a Christian, you can fade in and out, you can go to church or not go to church, and it doesn't really matter, which is tragic. But for these people to confess Christ, we baptized six people this morning in Hamburg, and one of the things that they, that is part of the, just before the actual baptism, they have to renounce Satan and all his ways, we know that, but they also renounce Muhammad and Ali. This is huge, because in so doing, they are essentially, in many cases, writing off their families and their culture. And you talked about being exiles. So, Pastor Preuss, that's exactly, they are making themselves exiles by coming to Christ. This is painful. And so prayer is what they need. Support is what they need. But as a missionary in Germany, I'm so honored to be part of this, a small little gear in this project, because they need our help, and I so enjoy being with them every day.
Thank you, gentlemen, again for your time. Thank you for sitting down and doing this podcast with us. I will, of course, send you the link when it's all finished up. But thank you for sharing this. And I'll provide, for those of you who are listening, links to contact Pastor Preuss and Pastor Teves, and also to the link to the church here, so they can, if you're ever visiting Berlin, you can come here and attend church with Pastor Martins and the folks at Steglitz.
You're heartily invited, and you will always get a Persian meal on Sunday.
Oh, and let me tell you, these Persian meals are fantastic. Thank you again to all you listeners to the Lutheran Witness. Thank you for taking this opportunity to learn about this wonderful work going on here in Germany. If you are interested in learning more, this story will be published in Lutherans Engage the World. That is engage.lcms.org. You can see that story there online. As always, we encourage you, if you're not already, become a subscriber to the Lutheran Witness. You can do that by visiting cph.org/witness, where you will, as always, learn how to interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.